Doctor, my eyes have seen the years.
This is just what the doctor ordered.
And now your host, here he is.
Yes, he is.
Dr. Mitchell Perry.
And good morning, everyone. I'm Dr. Mitchell Perry, and this is the Dr. Perry Show. It's Common Sense 101, people, and as you well know, common sense is very uncommon. This is a call-in show every Saturday morning, 9 to 11, here in Southern California, broadcasting live from KVTA, AM 1520, and KKZZ, that's AM 1400, broadcasting Santa Barbara County, Ventura County, Los Angeles County, San Diego County. We are here in Southern California for your getting better pleasure. And we're also broadcasting on the web. You go to kvta.com. That's kvta.com. Click on Listen Live, and there we are. And every Saturday morning here, we are here to tune you up, to help you reconcile that gap between how you think life should be and how life is. And as you well know, there is a gap between how you think it should be and how it is. And if you are ill-equipped, if you're unprepared, if you lack the skills, if you really are less than deft on how to handle that gap, you're going to be anxious. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be angry. You're going to be cranky. You're going to want everyone to enjoy your unhappiness with you. So therefore, if you're looking to be happier, more functional, you're looking to be more well-adjusted, you're looking to capitalize on your strengths and recover much faster from your setbacks, then this is where you tune in every Saturday morning. And the show is all about you. It's a call-in show. You give us a call here on the air, and we'll give you a talk. We'll give you a five-minute fix, get you squared up, squared away, or perhaps you might want to stump the doctor. Once again, running the boards here is my producer, who has been with me for many, many years. He's also a star in his own right. He runs the morning show with Spence here, KVTA, which is a longtime institution of excellence on broadcasting here in Southern California. And he runs the morning show with Spence Monday through Friday drive time on KVTA. He also absolutely graces my show with his excellence as a producer running the boards. Spence, man, it's another Saturday. Beautiful day in the neighborhood. Your thoughts?
Things are nice. The wacky weather, though, these 35-degree temperature swings
exactly.
We've been having, but beautiful.
Absolutely.
We're on the beach.
It could appear as if we're in late October right about now.
Mm-hmm.
However, as I understand, at the middle of next week, it's going to be back to blazing sun and summer heat.
Yes, Labor Day is on the way. This will be just a little rest on the heat, and then we'll come back to more of that sunshine.
Indeed. All right, the way this show works is you give us a call at 877-34-PERRY. It's our own private toll-free number here for the Dr. Perry Show, 877-347-3779. Spence, tell the people a little bit how this works. How do they call in? Who do they talk to at first? How the whole thing is to get them on the air?
Well, you ring us up here if you have an issue or a comment on the topic of the day, which we'll get to in just moments, and Robin at the screener will take down your name and we'll put you on air. Basically, you're looking for the five-minute fix, the 10-minute tune, or the stumping of the doctor.
And the five-minute fix is?
Five-minute fix is the person who calls up with an issue they've had for a while. They can't quite get their arms around it, can't quite figure it out. Maybe it's a family member. It could be something on the job. It could be their weight, and they just want to get that settled in their life. So they ring you up, doctor, they tell you what's going on, and in 5 minutes you can give them some ideas on what to do from the many CDs that you have, the many different programs that you offer, and they can go off on their merry way and go out and fix themselves. Just takes 5 minutes to complete that call.
And sometimes we actually provide free CDs to people who get on the air. However, they have to get on the air, yes?
You got it a little bit. You know, come on, price of admission. You call them, say, I want a free CD. Yeah, so do I. But it's nice to come play along, get on the air, and then you get the whole product.
The CD on the subject matter, very
often.
Which
is really
nice. And then we also have a 10-minute tune, which appears to be twice a 5-minute fix.
10-minute tune is what it's all about. People call in, and they think they know what the issue is, but after a little bit of conversation, up to around 5 minutes, there's that aha moment. Then it takes 10 minutes to really get to the heart of the matter, to root out that issue. And in 10 minutes, you are tuned up, and ready to go. Same thing as the five. You call back in a couple of weeks and tell us how things are going, which many people do.
We do have a lot of people who, much to my delight, do follow through with the suggestions here on the show, and they do call in later with their results, which is really always encouraging.
Yeah, it's nice. And then there's always more tuning to do, just like anything else in life. You're always kind of tweaking and fixing.
Excellent. 877-34-PERRY is the phone number, 877-347-3779. Usually the way this works is I start talking, and then the phones start ringing later in the hour, and we often run out of time. So it's a real good idea to give us a call early in the hour so that you can get some time here to get yourself squared away. First off, before we begin on the subject matter today, this first hour is brought to you by One More Time. One More Time is a outstanding watch and clock store. They specialize in all kinds of outstanding brands of watches, and they are in the Pacific View Mall here in beautiful Ventura. The Pacific View Mall in the middle of Ventura, we do encourage you to go to. I certainly encourage you to go to One More Time, and you want to talk to the owner, who is a crack-up. He's a wonderful guy. His name is Pejman. And he's got a great laugh, a big smile, and his customer service is absolutely outstanding. I am a regular loyal customer of One More Time, and I do encourage you to go if for all your watch needs, particularly if you want to buy a watch or you're interested in getting it fixed. He can fix essentially anything, and he's got great customer service. He's a great, great guy. And he really is dedicated to making sure customers are attended to. One More Time in the Pacific View Mall, and tell him Dr. Perry sent you. Go in there and say, Pejman, you cute boy, how you go? And he will bust up laughing, which is, of course, what you want. You want somebody to make you feel special, and he will do just that. One More Time, all your watch needs, everything to do with time at the Pacific View Mall here in Ventura. All right. Now, I want to tell you a story about something that happened to me in 1981, something like that, which the result of the subject matter was a combination of surprising to me and also has been continually reminded of me lately in the last few years. And I was regularly on a morning magazine show. I was essentially the psychological expert on the equivalent of Good Morning America, and I was in Northern California, and the show was called Good Morning California, and it broadcast for most of California. I think it was on the ABC network. And often I was a guest to talk about a variety of subject matters, everything from certain kinds of disorders to, I remember, what's the appeal of soap operas? One time I was interviewing a Playboy playmate on how she felt about that experience. I was talking about countless subjects for a period of years on this show called Good Morning California. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because the subject matter came up in 1981, 82, about a condition that appeared to be relatively rare at the time, and that was the condition of cougars. Now, at the time, were they called cougars? No. The subject matter was much older women getting involved with much younger men. And what did I think about that? And what was my analysis? And what were my thoughts about the degree to which those kinds of relationships could prosper? And it appeared in 1981, 82, that there was a relative scarcity, a relatively small number of relationships out there where the woman was much older, for example, 20, 25 year difference, and the man was much younger. And so I talked on the air on this show about it. And by the way, it was a live audience, and it also was one in which people could call in, just like here on the Dr. Perry Show. So here I am talking about much older women getting involved with much younger men. What was the appeal? In what way was that going to have successes? In what way were those relationships going to fail? Or were they going to succeed? And I started talking about my thoughts about it. Now, Spence, I have to tell the story about this particularly memorable time in which I was on television talking about this subject matter because that was a particular time in my professional history when, for a moment, I forgot all the skills and all the methods of communicating that I teach to all my clients. I forgot that how you position the material is actually particularly critical. So let me tell you the story, because I'm interested in knowing what people think about it today. 30 years later, it's relatively commonplace, or it appears that way. There's reality shows about cougars. There's, the Demi Moore, Ashton Kutcher thing, and lots of relationships like that. There certainly is, as a result of the last 30 years of the feminist movement, there's a much larger population of women that are breadwinners, certainly women that are in the workforce. More than 50% of all the people in the workforce today are women. Two-thirds of all the kids in college today are women. Two-thirds of all the graduate degrees as well as medical degrees are women. So in large part, women are the majority in terms of the population, the majority in terms of the college graduates, and certainly increasingly more and more are becoming in Congress. They are becoming CEOs. They're in charge of the dominant amount of marriages today. So women have advanced in countless ways. And so now you would, of course, expect that it'd be a lot more commonplace to have women, much older women getting involved with much younger men, which is certainly happening with lots of baby boomers. So the subject matter is now certainly a lot more ubiquitous than in 1981. So let me tell you, Spence, essentially the story of what happened to me when I was a guest being Dr. Perry on this show called Good Morning California. The live audience, there was the regular hosts on this show, and I'd been on dozens of times on one subject matter or another, and it was a good relationship, and it was funny and all that good stuff. And so the host said to me, her name was Kathy, she said, "Well, Dr. Perry, what is it about these relationships where there's much older women getting involved with much younger men? Let's say, a 20 to 30-year difference." And so I started talking about what I thought the analysis was, what I thought the attraction was, what I thought the prognosis was. And somewhere along the way, Kathy, the host, said to me, "Well, Dr. Perry, do these relationships of much older women with much younger men, do they last?" And I can tell you what I probably, had I really been on my game, I can tell you what I really should have said. And what I should have said was something like this. Well, Kathy, that's a real good question. First off, I'm unaware of what the research says on these kinds of relationships, because my guess is they're relatively rare. And I can only conclude that, on the one hand, it's difficult enough for relationships where people have a lot in common in background, perspective, age, that kind of thing. It's hard enough for very homogeneic clients, where couples who have a lot in common, it's hard enough for them to make a relationship work. So I could only conclude, therefore, Kathy, that it would be much more difficult for that age spread where she is, 20, 30 years older than he is. I can only conclude that that would be even more difficult. So I would think it would be uphill to make those relationships work. That's what I would have said, Spence, had I been on my game, had I had a moment of maturity, had I reminded myself of all the skills that I teach people on how to position stuff, particularly if it's potentially inflammatory. That's what I would have said, Spence.
Obviously, you said something else.
I did.
Fill us in.
I did. 1981 or 82, it was one of those years, I forget. So here's what happened. Kathy said, "Well, Dr. Perry, these relationships with a much older woman with a much younger man, do they last?" Well, here's what I said. I said, "No." And the phones lit up. There was a whole bank of phones. The phones lit up. And people got on the air talking to me and just unloaded. "You should be drummed out of the business, Perry. You don't know what you're talking about. You're a jerk." And they went on and on and on, getting really mad, obviously, because the people who were calling up being angry were people who were in those kinds of relationships. So here I am getting really scared thinking, what have I said? And the producer, Spence, back in the room looking through the window, he's back in the booth there. He's smiling. He's thinking, this is great. Keep this guy Perry on the air. He's really ticking everybody off. This is terrific. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I want to run away with my tail between my legs. What have I done? So that's what happened in 1981, where I forgot how to position some observations. And I really apparently pulled the trigger on an incendiary subject. So here it is now, 30 years later, Spence. Mm-hmm. And there's the reality shows called Cougars. There's the Demi Moore Ashton Kutcher arrangement where there are lots of those kinds of things. Courtney Cox, her husband is younger. I'm unaware of exactly how much younger. But increasingly, what you have is a fair amount of women who have made a very good living, a fair amount of younger men who are relatively unambitious. And certainly the golden rule does apply in the respect that he or she who has the gold often makes the rules. And so what I notice in my private patient load is there is a percentage of women out there who are, for example, baby boomers recycled, who have made a fair amount of cash for whatever reason, who very often are interested in dating and not necessarily interested in having a quality relationship with a man that's a contemporary and very often want a boy toy. So you will find often older women who will get involved with younger men either call them my boy toy or onlookers in the network will say some form of look at Helen's boy toy. There's all kinds of analysis that very easily could be interpreted about what's going on now when there seems to be a much larger population of much older women with much younger men. So I'm keen to know from you, our listeners, what are your thoughts about that? It certainly seems 30 years later, the subject matter is a lot more ubiquitous. It certainly seems there's a much greater population of much older women with much younger men these days. There are television shows reflecting that, which clearly suggests that there's some form of appeal or interest in the subject matter as a result of a larger population. And I'm keen to know what your thoughts are about that. Now, there is a population of women out there would say, well, some form of, hey, this is great. Men have been doing this for years. You know, men make a fair amount of money, they get older, they recycle, they get a new partner, and they get a much younger woman. Billy Joel has gone through, I think, his third or fourth wife, who's 30 years younger. Julio Iglesias finally married his girlfriend of 20 years, and she is, 22 years younger. Mm-hmm. Mel Gibson has gone through a series of judgment disorders. And he's now in a big tangle with the latest mother of his children, du jour, who is exponentially younger. So there's a fair amount of women out there that would say, hey, what are you talking about? We deserve to do this. Men have been doing this for many years. It's perfectly okay for them. It ought to be okay for us. So there's some women that would say that. There's some men, young men, particularly young men in their 20s to now, who are very good, of course, at looking good, who will say some form of course, if I'll get some older woman who's going to pay for me, I'll take that ride as long as I can get it. Interestingly, the thought, Spence, when I was in my 20s, the thought that I or any of my friends who were my contemporaries would be looking for an older woman with cash to pay for me, you know, that kind of a thought would be essentially unthinkable. Your thoughts?
You know, I had one friend, well, an acquaintance. I didn't really like the guy, but he did it back. It was age. It's funny. It's around when you did your show because I was just out of high school. And I remember he's doing what? And a friend said that he had a situation where he met this woman and he said, hey, how you doing? And she was a woman that had a house from a divorce, whatever. And he got to stay there absolutely free. And yeah. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, and it was good for him.
So the rent was essentially giving her sexual favors.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would think so.
But
that was relatively
trimmed.
Unusual, though, wasn't it?
Oh, the only one I could think of ever.
Yeah.
That huge gap.
And can you think at that age of early 20s, can you think that would be something that young men would aspire to, finding a woman with cash that's much older to pay for them?
Since I am a man of cinema. The first thing that came into my mind back then was Midnight Cowboy in just a longer duration.
Right.
Because the whole point of Midnight Cowboy, he left Texas to go to New York because he was going to be a servicer of fine women.
Right.
He found out it didn't work that way.
Right.
And I just thought, wow, he hooked up this way.
Although at that period of time, there was the Mrs. Robinson thing.
Sure.
But that was relatively rare, though, as I recall. I mean, was that standard operating procedure? Maybe.
I mean, there might have been a little bit of that. I just didn't know anybody who went through that. I read a book about Alex Karras, the great football player, and he did some acting. And he had a relationship like that with his school teacher way back then. This was in the 60s. And he talked about it in the book. But I think maybe...
It appeared, though, that whole thing then...
Very irregular.
And now it's standard procedure. I mean, with the proliferation of a colossal population of young men today who are relatively non-ambitious, they feel perfectly okay about looking for a woman with cash to pay for them, which is essentially a turnabout in roles from my experience of that period when I was that age.
Yeah.
There were lots of young women looking for older men with cash.
Like crazy.
Now, that is still going on.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, though, it's interesting is now there's a lot of women who have a lot more money, a lot more power. They are older. They've gone through a marriage or two. The kids are grown. They're looking for some new companionship and often find it, what they say sometimes is, in the meantime, I'm dating a younger man, and it's really fun. And he's really good sexually because I can't find a guy that can keep up with me at my age. And, you know, there's that notion of, you know, it's much more fun. It's much more of a plaything. There's an absence of really taking it seriously for some. Although, you know, some relationships do try to take it seriously. What do you think?
Well, I think it's like the Hessians. And it's like, I think it was Letters of Marque back in, the days of like the Civil War and the Revolutionary War, where you bought people to fight for you.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, we're going to have people who are passionate about the cause on our side, you would buy people to fight for you. And I think the only problem with this cougar thing, whether it's the woman to the younger man or the man to the younger woman, I think the loyalty factor is tied to many different things other than of the heart. And there could be that rude slamming of the door.
Exactly.
When the boy toy says, hey, I could go here. Or the cougar says, need a new boy toy. So the relationship is clearly, in my opinion, on the basis of services and cash rather than something of the heart.
I think that's absolutely correct. I mean, it certainly is true for a much older man with a much younger woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be real clear, a guy in his 50s or 60s today who marries a much younger woman, he knows that the price of admission is he's got to make some babies and he's got to pay for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's zero doubt about much older man, much younger woman. He's less than what we would call the prettiest specimen out there. She is gorgeous. He essentially buys a sex object. She decides to hook up to he buys a sex object. She hooks up to a success object. That's standard operating procedure. I'm inclined to think it's the other way around as well. With a much older woman who gets a boy toy, where in large part he's looking for some degree of her paying for stuff in return for which he will provide certain services. I'm thinking it's the same thing.
Yeah, and that it could last a long time, or it could be one of those things that just like a man or a woman, a successful person who could afford a really nice car, you might get a new one every 2 years because you can.
Right. And it's also true that if he's a much older man, she's a much younger woman, she's going to want babies.
Yeah.
The question is, does the baby thing really get into the condition if she's a much older woman with he's a much younger man? I really think no.
Yeah, and if there's also that position, you better have, no matter which side you're on, a really good prenup. Because yes. What was the palimony thing of the old days?
Yeah, that's right.
With Lee Marvin.
Right.
And
right.
Somebody might say, well, I've put in my 5 years, now I'm getting a lawyer.
Exactly.
And they might want to split off. So I would just be worried, like Hessians, you know, they brought in, I believe Hessians were Germans, makes sense. And they brought them in to fight a war. After a while, money's not as good. Maybe the food's not up to snuff. They'll just walk. Or they could just jump to the other side because they pay better.
Yeah.
When you deal with people that way and you don't have them by their heart and soul so they like you, if it's just a paycheck or just a benefit, if the other side offers a better benefit, you might just jump because there's no loyalty.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a compounding effect that's a problem there in the respect that generally women, when the relationship is sexual, get more emotionally involved than men do when the relationship is sexual. And so if she's a much older woman who's getting involved with a much younger man, and the relationship clearly, obviously, is sexual, and then as time goes by, he decides he's disinterested and he wants to get a younger model, then my guess is she's going to have much more trouble with the idea that he might decide he wants something younger and more attractive than if it was the other way around.
Mm-hmm. It's more commodities than it is anything
Indeed.
Else. And that would be, and if you buy into that and you know that, great. You know, I really don't have any issue with that. But if you do get the door slammed on your face and you have to call Perry for a 10-minute tune, I say, you know, didn't you see that coming? A little bit? You know, didn't you see that there could be some issues here?
It's certainly true that all the research continues to show that the best prognosis in the best relationships out there are ones where the participants have the most in common. And as a matter of fact, there are a very there's a small population of couples out there that are so compatible that the degree to which they have to work on learning how to communicate with one another and learning how to resolve conflict is extraordinarily low. Very small population out there called the Heavenly Twins. The Heavenly Twins are people who have got very similar backgrounds, similar educational levels, similar series of values, similar series of principles, similar series of states of mind, perhaps similar religion. The point is the compatibility is enormous because of the homogeneity of their background and their frames of reference. And the chemistry is so strong as well. So it's so reasonably effortless that they really enjoy each other. Therefore, they stay together for the lifetime. Very unusual group of people, but they do exist. On the other hand, there's two other groups out there. There's the on the other side of the scale, the people who are in perpetual conflict in one respect or another, or their relationship is up for grabs and always sort of in threat of being over. It's just a colossal maintenance project just to make it fly. And there are multiple ways in which those relationships are always at risk. And then the one in the middle, which is the big population, those are the people who care about each other, like each other a lot, and yet still have to work at it much of the time to make the relationship work. So what I'd like to know from you people, as you are listening to the show, what are your thoughts? I particularly am interested in hearing from a couple where she's much older and he's much younger. And if you've lasted a long time, how's that working? Or maybe it's a short time. Maybe you've just started a relationship where you, the woman, you're much older and he's much younger. And are you taking it seriously? Do you think it has a prognosis? Does it have a future? Are you worried? Or if you're a guy, if you're a young man and you're involved with an older woman right now, how's that working? I've heard talk to some young men. They say older women are more terrific because I get to wade through an awful lot less drama. There's a lot less infantile emotional swings that I have to deal with. And furthermore, she's more experienced in bed and it's more fun. So some younger men like older women. Some older women like younger men. I'd be particularly interested in hearing from you. Is it working? Do you absolutely disagree with me? Is it really a terrific program? Or is it a challenge? I'd be really keen to hear from any of you. Also, I'd like to hear from those of you who look at it from a distance. You have maybe a family member who's the much older woman involved with a much younger man, or you have observations of, let's say, movie stars or observations of people in the community where that's happening. What are your thoughts about that? How's that working from your view? Good idea? Bad idea? What's the prognosis? I'd really be keen to know. The phone number here on the Dr. Perry Show, I want to hear from you. What's the subject matter? It is much older women with much younger men. The cougar syndrome. What are your thoughts about that? Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Do you think it'll last? Certainly, it's hard to argue with issues of the heart. On the other hand, when you are particularly attracted to someone or think you love someone, and the age difference is that dramatic, it sometimes makes the prognosis a lot thinner. 877-34-PERRY is the phone number. 877-347-3779. I said in 1981, when asked on television, Dr. Perry, do these relationships last? I shot myself in the foot, and I said, no, they don't. And
what else do you need to know?
And the phone's lit up. Well, it's 30 years later. I'm a little wiser. My position remains. I think it'll be harder for a relationship like that to last, but some of them do, and certainly there's a lot more of them these days. I'd like to hear from you. 877-347-3779. We're going to take a short pause for a message or two. We'll look forward to hearing from you momentarily.
JMPerry.com.
I've always had issues with my weight. I just don't know what to do.
JMPerry.com.
It's so hard for me to get over the things that have happened to me in the past. I don't know how to deal with these setbacks.
JMPerry.com.
Life seems to be so much easier for my friends and coworkers. I just can't seem to get the things I want out of life.
JMPerry.com.
With Dr. Perry, I found out that there is no magic formula or luck, but there is a plan, and I'm so glad that I found the Dr. Perry plan.
JMPerry.com.
Dr. Perry showed me how persistence pays off. No magic, it's not luck. It's having the right plan.
JMPerry.com.
For so long, I blamed everyone in my life for the way things turned out. Then Dr. Perry made me realize that I am the one in control. Dr. Perry showed me how to take control. Thanks, Dr. Perry.
JMPerry.com.
You can change your behavior and therefore improve your life. Take the first step by calling 1-800-JM-PERRY or visit JMPerry.com today. JM Perry, leveraging human performance.
JMPerry.com.
There are some people that you can talk to and immediately convince them to do exactly what you want. And then there are others who you have a very hard time getting through to. Frustrated?
Frustrated?
Not anymore. Find the solution to your communication issues by going to JMPerry.com and ordering the CD Access Codes. Dr. Perry gives you a complete step-by-step guide on how to recognize individual preferences for clear, accurate, and easy communication. At JMPerry.com, you'll learn the 10 basic Access Codes that will give you the communication breakthrough you need. Using Access Codes helps you persuade others, gives you the tools to be an effective leader, and promote teamwork.
Go to JMPerry.com.
Learn to adjust your communication style to increase business. Remember, to get people to do what you want, you must present it in a way that is important to them. You'll be amazed by the results.
Go to JMPerry.com.
Access Codes teaches you how to speak to people the way they need to be spoken to. Access Codes, available now at JMPerry.com.
Go to JMPerry.com.
True leaders are those who can communicate effectively. What skills do they have that you lack? What techniques do they use to command attention and respect? Dr. Perry trains companies around the world the four keys of communication: listening actively, speaking clearly, reducing resistance, and resolving conflict. These are the winning communication skills that will take you right to the top and keep you there. Most people have yet to master these skills, but the winners have. In fact, the most successful leaders use them every day. The Winning Communication Skills 4 CD set will teach you how to communicate in a way that will help you be more successful both personally and professionally. Visit jmperry.com now to find the Winning Communication Skills 4 CD set that includes the skill of listening, speaking, reducing resistance, and resolving conflict.
Visit jmperry.com or call JM Perry Learning Technologies at 800-JM-PERRY. That's 800-567-3779.
JM Perry Learning Technologies, leveraging human performance.
And we're back. I'm Dr. Mitchell Perry. What are your thoughts, people? Much older women getting involved with much younger men. Good idea, bad idea. Turnabout is fair play. You think it works. You think it's just a passing thing. It's the cougar phenomenon, everybody. What are your thoughts? Spence, 877-34-PERRY is the phone number. 877-347-3779. Spence?
We do have Laura on the phone that wants to comment on the subject.
Laura, hi, you're on the air.
Yes. It does work. I have 18 years difference with my mate.
Really?
And yes. And we have a lot of things in common. And he pays his way.
He does.
Yes, he does. How? And also cooks.
He does.
Yes.
Well, now, how old are you, Laura?
18 years, 60. I mean, I'm 78.
He's 78. And
that's right.
And you're 78 and he's 60.
Uh-huh.
And how long have you been together?
Going on 2.5 years.
2.5 years, okay.
And I know him for 5.
Known for 5, 2.5 year relationship, and he's 60, you're 78.
Uh-huh.
Now, is this your first relationship where there's a significant age group where he's much younger?
Most of the time I had younger men in my life, but not this young.
Okay, and so now it's 2.5 years later, and of course, I'm going to guess at 78, your priorities and what's important to you in life are quite different than maybe 40 years ago.
Yes.
Okay. And so it's comfortable. It's easy. I'm going to guess if he's 60 and you're 78, it feels like there's very little age difference between you.
Exactly.
Whereas if
I'm as active as he is.
Right. Whereas if he was, if you were, let's say, 48 and he was 30, there may be a bigger perception of difference.
Exactly.
Now, so it's working out well. He pays his own way. Are you living together?
Yes.
Okay. And he cooks. And now, to what extent is your relationship one where it appears as if you're either the one with most of the money or the one with most of the power, most of the control, that kind of thing? How does power and control and money work?
Well, he has his money and I have mine.
Yeah.
And, you know, he pays a fee to live with me, and we split the food bill and everything.
Help me understand. What does that mean, he pays a fee to live with me?
Well, he pays a rent.
Oh, he pays rent.
Like a room, yes.
Okay, so you own the house.
That's right.
And he pays rent to live in your house.
That's right.
So therefore, you are in charge.
Right.
And how does it work for you to be in charge?
Oh, it's fine.
It's okay with you?
It is.
And it's okay with him?
That's right.
So you are familiar with the golden rule, that she who has the gold makes the rules.
Exactly.
And that's okay with you and that's okay with him?
Exactly.
And how's that work in you, if you've been together for, you've known each other 5, you've been together for 2.5 years, and you're largely the person in charge. How does that work with your community, your of friends or networks?
Perfect, because I don't look my age for one thing.
Excellent.
And he was married to a woman that was 11 years younger.
Yes.
That for 30 years and treated him like dirt, so I treat him very well.
Compared to that marriage, apparently. On the other hand, if she treated him like dirt, he's used to having a woman being in charge.
Yes.
All right, so she, the former wife, was in charge. You, the present paramour, you're in charge. It's just that you treat him much better than he was treated by the
of
wife.
Of course.
So he's used to having a woman being in charge, and that's absolutely okay with you.
Right.
Okay. So, mm-hmm. So a question. He rents a room. Is it sort of like he can come spend time in your room if
you have
to give him permission? I mean,
he has his own office and, you know, and yeah, so sure.
Okay, so from your view, this is working pretty well.
It's working very well.
Excellent.
And I'm thinking as long as it works, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and it's good time in my life. It's wonderful time.
Yes.
And we do things together all the time, so it's just great.
Now, let me ask you this. This is what happens with a lot of women where they get involved with a much younger man. And I'm wondering if this is even remotely an issue for you at 78. And that is, a lot of older women think, you know, this relationship is good while it's lasting.
Exactly.
But sooner or later, I have to be prepared for the fact that he'll want to trade me in for a younger model.
Well, sure.
And do you still have that thought, or
Well, it does. Yes, it does occur.
Yes.
And when it does, I'm saying, well, it'll be great memories.
So my question to you is this more of a, let's keep it together while it's lasting without obsessing about having a long-term commitment?
What does that mean?
Well, some people, let's say, if there was a woman who was listening to this program who was, let's say, 30, 40 years younger than you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say she's 40 and he's 20.
Mm-hmm.
And she's listening to this. She very well may be thinking with a greater sense of anxiety than you about, gee, will he look for a younger model? Will I still be attractive as time goes by to this man? And so I'm wondering, at 78, I'm going to guess you put much less of a premium on making sure the relationship has a commitment.
Right.
It's more interested in a companion.
Yes.
And as long as it's working fine, that's great.
Right.
And then we'll deal with the future when we deal with the future.
Exactly.
So your need for obsession for a commitment is dramatically less than if you were 40.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
Besides, I had 2 marriages prior, so.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Okay. Been there, done that.
Yes. I'm very happy the way things are, and I'm looking a day at a time, and that's all. The moment is to enjoy.
Well, what's certainly true, Laura, and I would absolutely agree with you, is the perception of difference in age.
Exactly.
When you're much older is an awful lot less than when you're much younger.
Exactly.
Spence, you said when you were 30 or 31, you dated a girl who was 20, and it seemed like there was a dramatic difference between age of 10 years there.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, with popular music, yeah. Anything you would like, you know, anything that was like of your time.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what's also, though, the truth for you, Laura, and certainly as I'm getting older, is that I feel like I'm a pretty young person, although my body's deteriorating, which irritates me. But it feels like the difference between me and somebody 10 years older than me or 10 years younger than me is negligible now, mm-hmm. compared to when I was much younger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I take good care of myself, and I'm, you know, I frequent the gym every day.
Yes.
And you know, I look very good.
Hey, Laura, you're a babe, apparently.
And I love to dance.
Smoking hot. This is perfect. Well done. Well, Laura, I really appreciate the phone call, and you clearly are in a relationship that's working apparently pretty well with a big age spread between you, and it sounds to me like what's working is, one, you're in charge, it's okay with you, you're
okay
in charge, it's okay with him,
mm-hmm.
and the second thing is you're sort of resisting having the futurizing expectations of commitment, and as long as you resist having to make sure a commitment is there, the relationship is pretty functional and it's working well. That's what I'm hearing.
Absolutely right.
Excellent. Laura, thank you for your love.
You're
for
quite
calling.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it. Have a wonderful time with that man, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, darling. Bye-bye. 877-34-PERRY is the phone number. 877-347-3779. I'd like to hear from you if you're one of those older women, younger men, what are your thoughts about that? This one here with Laura and her beau of 2.5 years, it seems to me, Spence, that it's true. As you get older, the age spread seems to be more negligible, even if it's a dramatic one.
Oh, sure. You got to think. Like in my situation, you know, 19 or 20 for her, she was just getting into a lot of the realizing what, but when you move ahead, like Colleen and I, my wife, have a significant switch. So she was more of like a K-rock person, where I was like a KMET person. The movies of my time were like One Flew Over.
So the frames of reference were quite
different.
Sure,
a little bit. Yeah, but still it was enough where I knew those. But with other things, you know, if you're sitting down and they want to put on Yo Gabba Gabba, you might reconsider that relationship.
Help me. Yo Gabba Gabba?
It's a kid's show.
That is a show on television?
Kid's show. Yeah.
It is?
It's a kid's show.
Oh. This is the first time I've ever heard of Yo Gabba Gabba. I immediately thought of Lady Gaga, which...
Well, you know, they all kind of morph and meld together. But it's a...
There's a TV show called Yo Gabba Gabba?
Yes, there is. It's
oh
for
my.
Kids.
Oh, my.
Yeah, the kids love it. What am I to say? I watched the monkeys. Come on, I watched Banana Splits. They were on little bicycles, and they were gigantic.
Let's hang on here. You may be bumping up against Engineer Bill, who's an icon. Yeah.
And Mr. Green Jeans, who was a curiosity.
Engineer Bill, by the way, he was a wonderful man. And as I remember, we were talking on the show a year or two ago, Spence, and I think he just died a year ago, something like that. Engineer Bill, some of you may remember Engineer Bill in Southern California. Remember Red Light, Green Light, Drink Your Milk? Remember that?
Sure.
And by the way, let's see if anybody of our listeners can answer this. Who called Red Light, Green Light, Drink Your Milk on Engineer Bill? Who called it? 877-34-PERRY. We morphed from an older woman, younger man to Engineer Bill. And Red Light, Green Light, Drink Your Milk, those of you who are old enough to remember that show, which was a classic in Southern California, you might remember Red Light, Green Light, Drink Your Milk. And the question for the trivial bit of the day is, who called Red Light, Green Light, Drink Your Milk on Engineer Bill? Who called it?
Let's see if we can get an answer.
Yeah, 877-34-PERRY is the phone number, 877-347-3779. Come on, show off, folks. Who called Red Light, Green Light, Drink Your Milk? Do you know the answer?
I don't know the answer.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I don't know the answer.
Oh, I know that one. Do you remember Sheriff John?
Oh, sure. We play his birthday song every morning.
Put a little candle on.
Put another candle on my birthday cake. I'm another year old today.
Can you get that on right now?
Oh, sure, I can.
Oh, give me a little Sheriff John.
I can grab that in just a moment here. And, you know, the other issue that we have with this age gap thing that's really interesting, I think there's a movie out, and I think they could do a sequel now, Eat, Pay, Love. Instead of Prey.
Oh, now tell me about that show. What's that? Is that the one with Julia Roberts?
Yeah, it's a chick thing. But when I look at it, there's just and maybe it's not such a big deal that we have available to us. We do have the opportunity to just set up a different situation for ourselves now, as long as everybody's in on the game. Yeah, on the rules.
Understanding the rules of conduct. Is really important. I mean, to me, when Laura called up just a moment ago, and she's 78, he's 60, to me there was zero surprise that it was her house, that he was paying rent, that she was in charge. That was okay with her. He was used to having a woman in charge. Apparently that was okay with him. To me, there's zero surprise there. The golden rule does apply most all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He, she, who has the goal generally makes the rules.
Yeah, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah. I love it.
Put another candle on my birthday cake. We're gonna bake a birthday cake. Put another candle on my birthday cake. I'm another year old today. I'm gonna have a party with my birthday cake.
He could carry a tune.
I love it.
Yeah, that's a good old Sheriff John.
That's him.
Brush your teeth. Comb your hair. He had a little rundown. Of, you know, the things you had. Did you? And he pushed little buttons, and they lit up.
I love it. It's been a long time since I've heard Sheriff John. I know the song, first time I've heard
it. You know, when they say happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, that's it's funny that that is such a great birthday song. I'm really surprised, maybe because there's more lyrics and it's harder to carry that tune. But that, I wouldn't mind, if that was sung, it's not personalized.
Yeah.
But That pleases me more than
I just love that.
Too, that odd chant.
The other thing, too, is it brings us all back, makes us feel like kids. When we were kids, as you remember, we would say, I'm 8 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I'm 8 and a half. And 8 and a half lasted about 3/4 of the year, if you recall. But rarely does somebody say, I'm 78 and a half. Although Laura might. Laura sounds like a real doll. And she says, I'm 78. My guess is she's going to say, I'm 78 and a half.
Yeah, on my 50th, I claimed myself 600 months.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing when you have a baby. Oh, 8 months, 9 months, 12 months, 13 months. At what point does that stop?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a year and 2 months. But people say, oh, 10 months, 11 months, 12 months, 13, 14, 15. So that's another curiosity with the way we brand ourselves in aging.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I noticed 600 months.
People like hearing about the birthday. They generally, as they get older, dislike hearing the number.
Yeah, and people love other people's birthdays a lot more when you get older than your own.
That's true.
Too many death balloons for people.
Every
card is a joke. It's a dig. It's an after. If you have a birthday party with 8, 9, 10 or more people, a really big one, you just get one after another, and it's like, wow, it's like being at a roast.
Well, yeah, yeah. It's interesting. When I was in my 20s, I heard about old people reading the obituaries on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm actually paying attention.
Yeah, when you hear the stars of your time.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember my mom saying, oh, my goodness, you know, whoever it would have been, Clark Gable has passed and things like that.
Yeah.
And you could see them like, wow, and really look at it. And now there's a few that are coming up like that. Or when you say Tuesday Weld is 70. Really? You know, and you're
exactly
like, is that possible?
Right.
You know, and you just hear that. So it's an interesting thing as we flow through time.
It is indeed. And it's also testimonial to Laura, for example, who is 78, has a 60-year-old boyfriend. She says, I keep take care of myself. I'm fit. I'm looking really good. And that has a lot to do with your attitude about aging in the first place. I mean, the reality is if you're taking care of yourself, and you're active, you're probably going to want to hang around people who are younger than you because they're more likely to be taking care of themselves and be more active.
Yeah, no doubt.
Absolutely. And it's interesting about age, too, in the respect that there's people that are much younger than me that by virtue of their state of mind and their poor lifestyle look a lot older than me.
Mm-hmm.
I just noticed. For example, I went to my 40th high school reunion just last year, and I was rather struck with the trajectory, the variance in presentation of many of my classmates. Some look terrific. George Tabata, Isidore Manuel, Ralph Sanchez. Those guys, they just don't age, which is really irritating.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I was, it's a while ago, chatting away, a group of people. We sort of knew each other. A couple of people didn't at all. And I mentioned nuke rallies. And a guy starts laughing. He goes, boy, you just aged yourself. And I looked at him. I go, you're not my age? And he kind of looked at me and I said, you should check that.
Exactly.
I said, I figured you were there next to me. And, you know, the guy was about 12 years younger, but he was a little heavy. He was a little...
It happens. So much of it is your state of mind and your lifestyle. I mean, the reality is you take care of yourself, you eat right, you exercise, you think optimistically, and you're going to age much slower. Net, that's it.
And the other thing that's kind of funny about, and I find a lot of younger people doing this, I don't think I did it, is if you talk about anything historically, they'll say, how old are you? And I'll say, well, who's the 16th president of the United States? That, you know, there's absolutely no history before them.
Exactly.
And so that's another way to date yourself.
Indeed.
I saw the Doors on the Sullivan Show.
877-34-PERRY is the phone number. 877-347-3779. We got another hour coming up here of the Dr. Perry Show. Like to hear from you on any subject. We're going to move on beyond the much older women, much younger men routine. Like to hear from you on, frankly, any subject you want to talk about. Anything with respect to your life, your relationships, your professional direction. Want to find a job? Want to find a mate? Want to offload the job? Want to change your relationships? Want to get on with the rest of your life? Want to quit shooting yourself in the foot? Sick of being fat? Sick of being depressed or anxious? Multiple things you can talk about. Give me a call here, 877-34-PERRY is the phone number for the Dr. Perry Show. We're going to be right back following these messages for another hour. Stay tuned.